In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Have you ever been lost before? Like, have you ever been driving someplace you've never been, and all of a sudden you realize you don't know where you are? Are you the type of person who will pull over right away and ask for directions? Or are you someone who is determined to stick it out and figure it out on your own? Yes. Well, I, for one, have a terrible sense of direction. So before we had GPS, I would always be quick to pull over and get help. And I couldn't understand why someone would keep driving if they didn't know where they were going. But as I thought about it a little more, it occurred to me that I wouldn't be nearly as quick to admit I was lost if it was in an area I felt like I should know where I was going. Like if it was in my job, or in parenting, or in my faith even. It's hard to admit being lost in areas we feel we should be proficient. It admits vulnerability and exposes us. In the chapter of Luke from which we read earlier, Jesus helps us understand what it means to be lost by telling three parables on lost things: a lost coin, a lost sheep, and a lost son. Although the story of the prodigal son isn't in our reading, it is part of this chapter. These three parables help to convey God's fierce desire to find those who are lost, and then God's overwhelming joy when those who are lost are found and returned to God. The reason that Jesus tells these stories is because he's responding to a conflict. As we read, he had been eating with sinners and tax collectors, and the scribes and Pharisees were not happy about it. Now, if you're like me, you might hear all of this and think, oh, there go those scribes and Pharisees again, getting all worked up because Jesus hangs out with sinners. But to really understand the significance of what's going on here, we have to understand three important cultural differences between their time and ours. First, we need to understand that when Luke uses the word sinner, he doesn't mean sinner as in we're all sinners. He's not talking about a little misstep here and there. He means someone who behaves so bad, so often, that everyone in the community knows about it. Think about someone whose behavior is so offensive to you that you wouldn't want to be seen hanging out with them at City Market even. That's the kind of person he's talking about. Secondly, it's important to note that when Luke tells us that Jesus is eating with sinners, he doesn't mean that they're grabbing a quick bite at Panera. In their culture, eating together was about friendship and intimacy. Perhaps in our day, it would be more like having Christmas dinner together, which is something special that we usually only do with people we're close to. So Jesus is engaging in that kind of fellowship. And third, we need to keep in mind that when Luke talks about the righteous in the parables, he doesn't mean the morally superior or the self-righteous. When he says righteous, he's talking about your typical law-abiding person. It's that person who's trying to do the right thing. The scribes and Pharisees would fit into that category, as might a lot of us. Reading the passage in this light helps us see the tremendous offense of Jesus' actions. As president of the Lutheran Theological Seminary, David Luce, summarizes it, Jesus is welcoming the local untouchables and the ne'er-do-wells, the moral disgraces and the public outcasts, welcoming, accepting, and befriending to the point of embarrassment. And the decent folk are, quite understandably, concerned. So all of this is the nature of the conflict that prompts Jesus to tell the three parables. All of them end with that lost item, or the sinner, repenting and returning to God. In this way, the ones that were lost are now lost no longer. They have been found in God spiritually and even literally, because they're feasting with Jesus. But now, the tables have been turned, and the righteous folk, those people trying to do the right thing, they are on the outside looking in. Could it be that they are the ones who are really lost? I don't know about you, but it's a little hard for me to hear this passage, and it's uncomfortable in some ways, because if I read it with a greater understanding of Luke's terms, I am not the sinner who gets to hang out and have dinner with Jesus. I'm not one of the lost sheep. I am one of the 99 who doesn't stray far from the fold. I am the person trying to do the right thing. But here, in what is the classic Luke and role reversal, I, whom society would deem the normal person, am on the outside looking in. And this is right where Luke wants me to be, so that I can see what I need to see, which is that there's a way in which I, the righteous person, can also be lost. I'll go out on a limb to suggest that most of us are the righteous. We abide by the law, we go to church, we try to help people, and we do the best we can with what we know. We can be told that we're sinners, and conceptually and theologically we get it. We know that we're not perfect and that we need God. But since we probably get by okay with our own efforts, we have a hard time connecting to that sense of need. It's also hard to get in touch with our lostness because we work so hard to keep it all together. We might worry what would happen if we began to look at our failures, our sadness, or our lack of direction. We might worry that if we began to pull back the planks of these compositions we've constructed, that we'd fall apart. We can seemingly have it all together and still be lost. Whether we're like the person who gives every second of the day to their kids, their spouse, or their work, but doesn't know how to take a few minutes for themselves, or like the person who comes to the end of a successful career, but finds themselves without relationships or interests outside of their work. Or like the person who throws themselves into the church, but hardly ever talks to God. We can be righteous and still be lost. If we're honest with ourselves, we are all lost at one time or another. In our attempt to do the right thing, to follow God, to be a good person, spouse, or coworker, there are going to be times that we look up from what we're doing and realize that we don't know where we're going. When we see that we don't have it all together, that we need help, it is in these moments that we become the lost coin, the lost sheep, or the lost son. When we are ready to identify with being lost, it's in these moments that we're met by a God who has been up all night searching for us, who never gives up on us, and who is reaching out for us to come home. Repentance has to do with our wanting to be found. But for that to happen, we have to see that we're lost in the first place. We can confide in God our desires and fears, our regrets and failures, or the way that life hasn't turned out like we hoped. We can let God into those vulnerable spaces and let God help us find ourselves again. Give us direction and purpose. Give us a new dream and renewed hope. Wanting to be found starts with admitting to God that we're lost. It sounds too simple, but if you think about how hard it is to recognize and admit, it's actually a big deal. It's like the prodigal son who realized he was lost. All he had to do was acknowledge it and start heading back home. And God, the Father in the story, took care of the rest. Once we get to that place where we see that we don't know where we're going and that we need help, there is still work to do. But it's in recognizing that we are lost that we are essentially home. Amen.